It's me.
Reversing into our many different songs. I didn't know mine was Adele.
Yeah, no, same one, different verse.
Oh, yeah. Such a fucking bop.
Adele, honestly.
Honestly, a woman. Her 21 album, right? I feel like when that came out, I was in like the pit, right? For God knows what reason, right? Probably every reason at that time, because it was fucking so many years ago, right? It was actually, yeah, it was that time. It was that time. But I swear to God, I used to listen to Adele. I used to sprawl out as much as I could sprawl out on my tiny fucking box room. Right?
Oh man, that thing. You couldn't swing a fucking cat in it.
I couldn't fucking do anything in that room. And I used to just like lie there on the floor and be like, just listening to Adele, like so in my feels. But I'm convinced that album helped. I don't know why. I was like,
no,
it allowed
it
me to cry though. Shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like...
You're like,
you know, obviously Adele was fucking singing about shit that I had obviously no fucking, I could relate to at the fucking tiny age of 14, like, but still I was like, oh my God, yeah, girl.
There's a word for that, I feel like, or not a word, but like a phrase. I don't know if it's like death of the artist or something like that, where it's like you basically, you just kill the artist and you change the song to mean what you think it means, regardless of what they wrote the song about.
Okay,
and
fair.
It's like, it was about, hey there, Delilah.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey there, Delilah's fucking creepy. If
oh yeah, man was a pure weirdo, like.
Right. But if you ignore him, take hey there, Delilah and apply it to like a guy who's just had like a divorce with his wife. The daughter is now living with the wife in another city in New York. And
it changes completely. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so fucking sad and meaningful if you apply that meaning to it. So it's way better than what the original asshole actually wrote. So, yeah, not to say that it's better than, like, Adele's feelings, but you applied it to your own and made it what it needed to be.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Actually wild.
I think it's Death of the Artist, but I'm not sure. Let me see if I can quickly look it up.
I'm going to say you're right, and I'm just going to say now it's a cesspool fact. Before it's confirmed. Just in case. Oh my God, your eyeliner is eyeliner today?
My eyeliner is eyelinering. It was actually fair eyelinering yesterday.
Is that yesterday's eyeliner?
No, I fixed it. But I've managed to fall asleep almost so perfectly that only the tips got taken off. So
nice.
I just like washed the rest of my face but left that.
Yeah, that's too much work.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got perfect eyeliner for the... This is the first time in months I've actually been able to do nice eyeliner. So I'm like, this has stayed on for as many days as I can make it stay on.
Yeah, honestly.
Just clean around it. You get cotton buds. It's fine. It works. But yes, thank you. I'm feeling it today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling myself.
Or has it made
no, I think it's
again?
Like, it's a different theory and I'm applying it to...
Oh my God, so basically what you were saying, is it? Wild.
It's what I was saying, but not, that's not the name of it. Hang on. The death of the author is the inability to create, produce or discover any text or idea. But like, that's the death of the author, not the death of the artist. The death of the artist, figuratively and symbolically, of course, can only serve to propel the artwork through time, unbounded and unmitigated by the artist's demeanours. So this is literally just saying the same thing, but it's weird. By the artist's misdemeanours or misfortunes, and thus should be celebrated and taken as an affirmation of triumph in its own artistry. But it's not the exact
so
same
many
thing,
words.
But yeah, it's just really fancy about it. But I need to find... I will find you it. It was definitely like a Reddit thread. Or a Tumblr post.
Yeah.
Or something. But I'll find it. And I'll send it on to you. I'll track it down.
Oh my God. Right. Right. This isn't the Reddit thing. But speaking of things that I've seen that have like scandalized me. Right. So there's this podcast. The podcast is called Sexted My Boss. Right.
Ooh.
Right.
Dirty.
And there's these two lads from the UK. I think one of them's a radio presenter. One might comedian. Or might be a comedian. I'm like, I'm not 100% sure. But... basically they kind of get in like confessions and stuff like this, right? And have you ever heard of the term igluing?
No, and I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, you should be. You should be, because I also had never heard of the term until I stumbled upon their podcast. I was like there was a clip of it on TikTok and I was like, well, I'm absolutely positively intrigued,
right? And color me interested.
Color me fucking interested. So this guy goes on to explain how there was this couple and they got really friendly with a gay couple.
Okay.
Right? They got to the point where they were getting very close and were visiting each other's houses, would go over for dinners, and were just very comfortable at the point that they could, they wouldn't mind going open in each other's presses.
Right.
And shit like that. You know, like that level of comfort, right?
That's such an Irish standard. Like, they wouldn't mind getting themselves a biscuit, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, help yourself, love, help yourself. Yeah.
They're at home.
You know where the delf is. Yeah. You know where the delf is. Yeah. Back
hop on the kettle, sure, we'll have a cup. Come on.
Yeah, you make the tea in my house. Absolutely. Like it was at that level, yeah. Right? And so one of the guys, anyway, had gone into the home, of this gay couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he opened up the freezer for whatever reason. I can't remember because the rest of the information is just so what the fuck that I have blacked out the minor details, right? But you can go onto this podcast or you could go onto the TikTok and get the full story breakdown, right? But he saw these things in the freezer, right? And he were like, what the fuck is this? So he takes it out, is absolutely traumatized to find out that it is shit. That has
no.
been like,
no, shit. No, 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 fuck off, don't continue to tell me because I know what you're going to tell me and I don't want to hear it.
The shit that was in the condom that was like rolled into like nearly fucking perfect, like little icicles, right? We're just sitting in this man's freezer. And so they had to have a conversation. Because obviously the man came out, was traumatized, like, white as a fucking ghost. And they were like, what's wrong? And he's like, well, I've just fucking seen something in your freezer. To which they had to make a fucking slightly mortifying confession that one of them was into this thing called igluing, which was...
You take
using...
a shicycle.
Yeah. And like, shove it up your own arse.
Ah, no.
Yeah.
Why? Why does it have to be shit?
I don't.
Can you not do it with water or like?
No, because then it's not an it's not igluing. I feel like the shit is like the specific thing. It's wild. I was like, what the fuck? I'm all for people letting the freak flag fly, right? 100%.
Right, you do you. Boo.
Absolutely, have a 10 out of 10 great time. But
however,
and then the lads were talking about it on the podcast, like, how the fuck did he even get it into the thing as well, and then to be able to form it and mold it.
Yeah, like how perfectly are you holding that condom to your arsehole?
To be able to like I'm sure with like time comes practice. Or no, did I get that right?
With time comes practice.
No,
and also practice makes perfect.
Wait, like, I made a complete talking ball of that.
We're a bit shook by this situation, so we'll forgive it.
Yeah, anyway, with practice comes... I need to get this right. I can't move on. Okay,
with
so
great
in time...
power comes great responsibility.
Oh, this is going to fucking wreck me now. I'm so bedraggled. It's not even funny. No, I need to get this right.
With amateur podcasting comes many sidetracks.
Fuck, I can't. I can't formulate the sentence. Anyway, people will know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
That was oh Jesus, but anyway.
That was a journey.
It took a minute to get there. It was.
Okay, but right, so I have to imagine that to form it, like I know if you're having like, I suppose, a proper healthy diet that you have particular consistency of poo.
Yeah, like does he have to make sure he has a very clean diet so then he doesn't get like a dose of the squids
very
and
high
then
fiber.
It on himself? Mm.
It'd have to be. It needs to be. Why are we
no,
talking
honestly,
about this?
I'm going to say now, this is going to sound vile, but when it drops in a toilet, it's going to sound like a stone has been dropped into water.
Play-Doh vibes.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever get a slap of a ball of Play-Doh? Like, that shit's solid, but it's so malleable.
Why? Oh. We're actually fucking disgusted.
Well, at least we're not doing it. Sorry, but oh my God.
You know, that's just dark.
That is beyond. That is how do you find out you're into that? Who was the first person? Tell me it was fucking some man back in 1543.
It's like, I know I'd love to shove my shit back in my arms.
Fetch me the parchment paper, Margaret.
At -4 degrees. Oh, that's just mad.
Honestly.
Oh my God, I'm so fucking snotty. I'm sorry, this has come on all of a sudden. So if anybody's bothered by it, mind your business. I can't do anything about it.
Watch the COVID-19 setting in 2023.
Never. I die of shame.
After, 3 months since you had it?
Yeah. I got it before the New Year, Savannah. Mm-hmm. So technically...
Bitch, me too. We got it together.
Anyway, we move.
Right. Okay.
Today.
Woohoo! First heavy hitter of the year.
Nobody can see, but I'm doing a little fucking...
So, I forgot to get my source.
It can be put in the episode description.
It can be put in the episode description. There I will put it in the episode description.
There you go. For now, everybody mind your business.
Exactly. Fucking exactly. I think it's just called the Spokane Killer, actually.
Spokane.
Yeah.
Is that in Washington? No.
Yes. No.
Oh,
yes.
Look at me knowing shit.
It is. Washington or Wisconsin? No, no, he moves to Wisconsin afterwards. But yes, no, it's in Washington.
Sorry. Geographical fucking genius.
Look at you knowing things, because it wouldn't be me.
Mad.
Whenever a book just takes for granted that we know where the fuck a place is in America and gives no, like, reference. It's just
I feel
like
that's walla, honestly walla. As impressive if somewhere new, like, if someone from America knew where Tala was.
Yes.
I feel like it's the
equivalent. Or Mooncoin.
Mooncoin?
Yeah, Mooncoin. Do you not know where Mooncoin is? It's up by Waterford.
Nah. Oh, God, no.
It's between, like, I think, what, Waterford and Kilkenny? Between those two?
Half into Norton, I would say. Wild.
Had a wee boyfriend in Mooncoin when I was like 14.
Oh,
yeah. It was a whole month and it was a whirlwind romance and it was awful.
I'm sure. Probably saw him exactly once.
Like three times. No, three times. Thank you very much.
Three? Oh my God.
And then he broke up with me. Anyway, back to another fucking heartbreaker here. First heavy hitter of the year, we are covering Robert Lee Yates Jr.
So, too many names already, off the bat, too many names. Robert Lee. What was it?
Yates.
Say that again.
Yates. Like fucking the poet.
William B.
Yeah.
William? Is it William?
Yeah, W.B. Yates. William. Yeah. William Butler Yates.
I meant to say W.B., but William B. came out of my mouth.
Willie B.
Willie, like one of the boys.
Willie B. dropping his bribes. Yeah, exactly. I feel like a Yates just needs three names. That's probably like a family tradition.
Yeah, but then to have the junior after, like, I know he obviously was a junior, so that's why he fucking had it, but like...
Yeah, and we do talk slightly about Robert Lee Yates Sr. for a while, but I will refer to him as Bobby going forward.
So, Bobby's the young lad?
No, Bobby's the young lad. Robert is the old lad.
Okay, right, yeah, wait now.
Yeah, because everyone called him Bobby. So... I have no idea what a fucking Washington accent sounds like, but it's not that.
I feel like it's not the Waterboy accent that...
No.
Like, you were given very much Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, but if you're saying Bobby, you gotta say Bobby. Like, doesn't sound good any other way. Okay, so, are you ready?
No.
No.
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's dive in. Our boy, Junior, Robert Lee, he was born in Oak Harbor on May 27th, 1952. This was yet another place they gave me no reference where the fuck Oak Harbor was. So... figure that out.
By a harbour.
With a big oak tree, presumably.
Yeah.
So he was born to Robert Lee Yates Sr. and Anna Mae Yates. Now, Robert Sr., he'd seen some shit in his time, okay? He was no stranger to murder.
Nice.
Because in 1945, he awoke one night to the sound of his mother murdering the fuck out of his father.
Nice one.
With an axe.
Oh, shit, girl.
Yeah, she was hatcheting him to death. Like, I don't think she let up. Like, it must have been loud if he heard her hacking into him with the axe to wake
there's
him
no,
up.
Yeah, there's no way he was screaming because he was definitely dead and she just kept
no,
on.
Yeah,
like, you know,
she probably went straight for the fucking skull first, like, and then just kept going.
So it's nice, an axe splitting skull.
Yeah. I don't think that'd be quiet.
No, very crunchy.
Like, I know when we chop wood. Now, I know wood is a bit different to fucking skull, but... you know, you imagine these things would still kind of echo.
You know, even just the impact, like the noise of like something getting slapped, like
it echoes. There's a couple of houses around us, but it echoes when we cut wood out the back. I feel like it's going to be loud. You know, So she hacked the shit out of the father, and he comes down the stairs. Robert Senior, not senior at the time, but little Robbie. He comes down the stairs and he sees his father just lying in the middle of the kitchen in a pool of his own blood, dead as fuck, and his mother's just sat in a chair. Chill, like, might as well have not just murdered her husband, just a normal day.
Smoking a fag,
I presume.
As well,
yeah, either smoking a fag or just casually doing knitting. I don't know why the knitting brings me more joy. Yeah, so he witnessed all of that, and then his mother got taken away to a psychiatric facility.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it the psych?
Yeah, to recover, and she was there for 7 years. So, yeah, pretty shit for an early life for old Robbie Senior. And I don't know, I presume there was probably a reason.
Why she hacked him to bits?
Like, women aren't known for having pointless murders, like for the passion of it, like for the love of murder.
Yeah.
Usually. There's usually a reason for it, and usually that reason is my husband is a piece of shit, and they snap. And it's 1945, and I feel like, weren't all husbands pieces of shit? You know?
That was during the war. The fucking
yeah,
war.
It was during the war. It was during World War II. So, yeah. Or right, just right after, actually. Didn't it end in 1945?
It did.
So, just about the end of it, we'll say. When did I say? May? Yeah. No, that's 1952 he was born. Excuse me, it was 1945 when his mother got murdered. I don't know when it was in 1945. Or when his father got murdered.
Sometime.
Sometime in 1945. War was happening. It was a thing anyway.
Mm.
Even if it was just over, it was just over. So you're not over it yet. It's a fucking war. Yeah. So I feel like all husbands were kind of not super duper during that time. And yeah. So suggesting then he probably had a shit home life before all of that went down as well.
One would assume.
Yeah. These are assumptions, might I add. Cesspool facts, but assumptions. Because I didn't find that information anywhere. But we can speculate pretty easily. Yeah. But yeah, so all of that kind of trauma just made a wonderful man, as you would expect. And I don't really have much information on how Robert Sr. was.
Mm-hmm.
Seemingly he was pretty good father. And he loved Bobby and he looked after him. They like did loads of shit together all the time and stuff. But he was still really messed up. Like, he had obvious PTSD and, like, all of it was internalised, as men do. And then he kind of went a bit fucking fruity because of it. So he had his moments, from what I can gather. And he passed that on to Bobby in later years. So Bobby, growing up, was actually seemingly well-liked. He was known to be quiet and well-mannered. He came from, like, a safe and respectful community. He wasn't in, like, a rough area or anything like that, hanging out with the wrong crowd or anything. He liked playing outside all the time. He played baseball. He hung out with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He had a really normal childhood, supposedly. The only thing that was kind of a bit strict was that Robert Sr., given all that he'd been through, he was a big man of God, big fan of him.
Would you fuck off?
He was part of, I think it's a Presbyterian offshoot called the Seventh-day Adventists.
Oh, the Seventh-day fucking Adventists. Nah.
Yes. Those boys. He was one of them.
Sorry. When they start getting into their little fucking factions, their little break-off groups, I get so good. It's the same fucking thing.
You're just a mini cult.
No,
it's a different religion. How dare you? How fucking dare you? We believe in all the same things and we stole the scripture, but it's a different religion.
It's different.
And we are not a cult.
No plagiarism involved.
But yeah, so he was a Seventh-day Adventist and he brought Bobby into that world. So he was also very praise Jesus, hallelujah, whatever. Yeah, like I said, Robert Sr. was really into baseball. So he got Bobby into baseball then as well. And he was the coach of the baseball team for the area.
Okay.
I presume for the Pee Wee League or whatever the fuck, because Bobby was part of it as well.
Yeah.
Apparently he wasn't half bad. He was actually pretty good. He won them a couple of tournaments and stuff. So go him, I guess. As he got a bit older, then he worked kind of odd jobs around the town, like being a paper boy, cutting grass, fucking walking dogs. You know, all shit that I used to do when I was a a young child and a teenager to make pocket money. And that's exactly what it was for. And this was enough to get himself a steady girlfriend by the time he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But then she moved away halfway through their senior year. So he was too sad to go to prom without her. So he stayed at home playing video games with his friend instead. And this friend was his best buddy.
Yeah.
I don't have his name. But he basically said that his family was really loving and really considerate and respectful to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That they had a really nice home environment. He was always happy there. Pretty much he got everything he wanted.
Yeah.
So basically this child had, this dude had a perfect childhood.
Everything. Yeah.
Everything. The only thing that he's ever said that happened in his childhood that ticks one of the boxes of serial killer madness is that he was apparently by the neighbour across the street.
Oh, diddled.
Yeah. Mm. When he was 6 years old. And the neighbour was 5 years older.
Shit.
Yeah. Which, of course, I'm not saying is any small thing. That is significant trauma at anyone's fucking standard.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm just saying that is the only, like, we don't have the traditional, like, the bedwetting and the head injuries and the drunk parents or the junkie parents or the whatever the fuck, the abusive parents. We don't have any of the usual trademarks bar that, bar sexual abuse.
Yeah.
So, but he didn't seem like all that bothered by it at the same time. Like, sure, there's the fucking scars, we'll say. It'll always show up somewhere in your life, but, like, he seemed to just get on with it. Like, it's a thing that happened and...
He's just...
He's got to move on with it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he told nobody about it as well until, like, years later after the arrest and everything. So, there's that. Internalizing is not good.
Mm-mm.
Bobby then, he went on to go to Skagit Valley College. Skagit is a terrible word.
I feel like that sounds like something that you would call someone.
Yeah.
In like a vicious way.
Yeah. So he went to Skagit in 1970 and he came out with a degree in general studies.
What the fuck is general studies?
General stuff.
And he just studying in general fucking things. Yeah, just in general. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, just I'm in general. Interest in this one day.
I have like science once a month. I have maths every so often.
I'm going to study every fucking single
like a jack of all trades, but a degree in it.
That's weird.
You have a pub quiz degree,
in my opinion. That's what that is.
Yeah, general studies is a multidisciplinary degree. That is designed for adults and learners and traditional learning, blah, 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 blah. So basically, you can study fucking anything.
Nah.
Combine them.
Fuck that shit.
I suppose it's a bit like a Bachelor of the Arts.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Because, like, you're acting like We Fair didn't do that.
Man, we did, but did we complete it?
Oh, no.
No.
We realised it was pointless. Man, I went to study philosophy.
I did Celtic civilization. What the fuck was I doing?
Greek and Roman mythology, thank you very much.
Oh, your one was way cooler.
Yeah, Roman was kind of shit, but Greek, fantastic.
I met the fairy man. Do you know the man that does be on RT sometimes talking about fairies? Like in the fae and shit.
Oh my god.
Met him, he is wacky, like, but he's nice.
I mean, is he wacky or does he know the truth? Say yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But alas. Oh yeah, general studies. I was like, what spun us out that bad? But yeah, general studies.
Studies.
So when he was 20, he married a woman named Shirley Nylander. Shirley Nylander was apparently a whirlwind romance. They fell in love really quickly.
Like Sandy and Danny from Greece.
Yes, definitely.
Love that.
Yeah, they moved in together and they got married, obviously, like, within like a year, I think, like super quick. Yeah. Naming no names, but you know. Yeah, so they moved into College Place, which, as the name would suggest, was near the college.
Yeah.
So that they could both study together at Walla Walla College.
Walla Walla what?
Walla Walla Bing Bang. Walla Walla College, which Walla Walla is apparently a place in Washington. I think it's, in Washington.
Walla Walla. Oh, that's I feel bad now because it's definitely like some native place. We've just been taking the piss. It's definitely like some fucking native place or some shit like that.
I don't know, man.
How do you spell it?
Washington, though. Walla Walla. W-A-L-L-A.
Yeah, I know, but Walla Walla. Like, I feel like it's given...
vibes?
King Tang, Walla Walla, Bing Bang. Yeah, but also... Do I feel bad for taking the piss? Slightly?
I mean... We're not the one who stole their lands.
No, that's actually... but if we're mocking...
And whatever Walla Walla is now is probably a bastardization of what it was when it was originally named, if it is originally native. So...
Yeah, I'm actually working on an assumption here. Okay, I don't feel bad anymore.
You're feeling bad about a thing that might not even be a thing.
Because I'm like Shane Dawson, I'm an empath. I'm an empath.
Walla Walla College, the reason they wanted to study there is because it was run primarily by... The Seventh-day Adventists. So...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they got to work close to the Lord. That's what you need. That marriage lasted for 18 months.
Oh my God. Really?
Shock horror. Apparently.
Surprised.
He wasn't a nice man. And it ended in Shirley storming the fuck out the house.
Uh-huh.
Demanding a divorce. And apparently Bobby was all too happy to give it to her as well. So it was just a tumultuous relationship. God bless them.
They fucking despised each other at the end of it, like. Yeah.
Yeah, it really, it just didn't fucking bother Bobby that she wanted a divorce anyway, because he was already moving on. He said, Ariana Grande, thank you, next. And he went out and he found himself the love of his life.
Again? Oh my God. Shocking.
Immediately afterwards. Like, what luck. What absolute luck. Some of us could never find the love of our lives once, and here he is, finding them twice.
Twice.
Lucky bastard.
If he finds it thrice, oh Jesus Christ, well then.
Well, he doesn't get the opportunity to find it thrice, as far as I know. Which is very unfortunate for Linda Brewer, who would become his new wife.
Oh, Linda.
Yeah, Linda had a bad life with him, God bless. But we will get into that, because I actually have a weird amount of information about their relationship, how it was going as it kind of progressed through time.
Okay.
And like how she felt about it and stuff. Linda also went to Walla Walla College. That's where they met, and they also fell in love fast. Bobby tried to wife her up so fast that by the time they got married, his divorce with Shirley wasn't finalized yet.
Right.
So
okay.
His marriage to Linda got annulled.
Oh.
Technically, he was still married.
Yeah.
Whether the divorce was processing or not. So their marriage is technically invalid. But she was stuck with him anyway, because by time all of that went down, she was already 6 months pregnant.
Shit.
Yeah. So, no, excuse me. She was already pregnant and she gave birth 6 months into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that went. Yeah. So, you know, they had a child together. They were stuck together. It's 1970. Or at this point, actually 1974. That's when their first child is born. And I don't have a lot of information on the children, I presume, for their own safety.
Yeah.
Not to be associated with their dickhead father.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just have child and they were born and they existed, but I can't, were they girls, boys? I don't know. I don't know how old these kids were. They were just born.
They were just
Yeah. He hadn't a job yet. He was just out of college. He was just out of college and they were having their baby. They were just married, whatever. He needs to get a job. So, be more of a serial killer, he got a job as a prison warden.
Oh, give over.
Talk about stereotype. Gets worse as we go on as well. Yeah, he finds himself a cushy little job as a prison warden. That's all good. He gets a nice steady paycheck. And then in 1975, he mysteriously quit his job, claiming that prison warden just wasn't his vibe.
Okay.
And he decided that he was just going to pack up and leave. So this confused everyone around him for obvious reasons, because it's a really bizarre when you have a fresh born baby to give up a stable job.
Yeah.
Where you've got like a steady income and probably a good pay for a prison warden. I mean, I'm sure it's not amazing, but it's probably fairly good.
I say they have some benefits though, because it's still a government job.
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be some better, at least a pension, at least a fucking pension. Yeah. And in America, you're holding on for a hope and a prayer with money. So like
and
any benefits, a fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, if you've got dental as well, you're flying it.
Yeah.
That's like, I think that's the most you can ask for. I don't think any of them offer health insurance.
Do they not?
Or some of them, no, actually, I might be lying, because I feel like I remember seeing in shows that people were holding on to jobs because they needed the health insurance.
Ah, yeah.
So it could be that, but I'm not sure. But I think it's probably like few and far between. Like, you're not going to get it in a fucking McDonald's over there.
Yeah.
Whereas you do in Germany. So, bizarre. Anyway, to give up a job like that during a time when you fucking need money because babies are expensive.
Yeah.
So, it didn't make sense to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, if you look at the timeline, in 1975, Walla Walla was shaken by the discovery of Patrick Oliver and Susan Savage's bodies. In the book, it says that names have been changed to protect certain people. I don't know. As far as I could see from like Google, the names are the same and stuff. But I don't know if they've actually changed these names to protect them. So these might not be the actual victims' names.
Okay,
but this is what they're named
that's
as.
That's weird.
Yeah. I'm not sure who it was referring to at what points, but it could be all the victims. It could be some of the victims.
Right, okay. That's a bit wild.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I thought it was a bit, it could also be like his wife. But yeah, just a heads up, some of the names in this that I'm given, they might be fake. I don't know. But these are the names that you'll find in most of the information anyways.
Okay.
But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that because I thought it was a bit strange as well.
Very odd.
Mm. Background on Patrick and Susan. They had been childhood friends.
Okay.
Patrick had been away, he'd gotten a scholarship to study abroad in Europe. And I'm not sure where. Again, they just said Europe, because, you know, Europe is a country.
Yeah. Could have been Ballymun, for anybody knows. Yeah.
Genuinely. Could be anywhere. But yeah, he got a fucking scholarship to study abroad in Europe. So wherever the fuck that might have been. They hadn't seen each other, obviously, because of that, then, for a significant amount of time, probably like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going for like a full college stint, maybe 2, could be 3. I don't know. Couple of years, college years. They like wanted to celebrate the fact that they were seeing each other again after a really long time. So they decided to go to like a spot that was really significant to them, that they'd hung out a lot in their childhoods. They'd had a lot of memories there.
Yeah.
And go for a picnic. Just super cute.
Yeah.
And apparently there was no like romantic thing between Patrick and Susan at all. They were just severely best friends. Like, they were so beyond in love with each other that it was like purely platonic, like the deepest form of love. Like how me, you and Quiva love each other. Okay. I feel like it's that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So
yeah,
I'm with you. Nothing romantic at all between them. They were just the bestest of friends.
Yeah.
So Patrick picked Susan up. And they both told their parents that they would be back in time for dinner.
Right.
And the hours passed by. No one was coming home. They didn't make it for dinner. It started to get dark. Parents started freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Especially Patrick's parents. Because they, just 8 years previous, had just lost their other son.
No.
Yeah. James, in a really bad car accident. James and their other son, Daniel, were both in the car, and James lost control of the car and plowed into a tree, killed him outright, and Daniel was like weeks long in the hospital and had to go through like surgeries, physiotherapy, everything before he recovered.
That's so fucking sad.
Yeah. So they'd already been through a lot with
fucking
not just losing James, but what happened to Daniel. And then now Patrick is missing. So they're already like on fucking high alert. Like they were immediately something's wrong. So yeah, they started trying to figure out where they might have gone, because Patrick and Susan hadn't actually said to anyone where they were going. Like, they decided amongst themselves, but they never told anyone an actual location. They just said, we're going for a picnic.
Yeah.
Patrick's aunt started putting two and two together, like, okay, where would be significant to them? Where would they go? They're not going to go just anywhere.
To some random place, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she put it, she was like, I know the place. Like, she knew this bridge where they like to go in the parks. Like, there's loads of really beautiful parks in Washington, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew this particular bridge in this park in Washington by a creek. They drove up there and Patrick's car is still there.
Mm.
And this is the next day. They followed the creek for a little while, and half a mile in, they found a pile of debris. Now, I don't know what kind of debris. It was just described as debris.
Yeah.
So it could be anything. Just a pile of trash. And that was like partially covered up by a tarp. And there was a tire on top to weigh the tarp down to like keep it covered. And as they got closer to it, throwback to last week, they saw a foot sticking out of the debris. The foot had a shoe on it. No sock this time. That turned out to be Patrick's foot.
Right.
So they went, they were like, we are not touching this because we are smarter than that. They were not tampering with the crime scene at all.
Good on
them.
They
went and got the police.
A fucking single brain cell.
Honestly.
Thank God.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I could understand the urge as well to just get in there and start tearing it apart. And find out, like, is it them? Like, I need to know, you know?
Yeah.
I could see how easily that could have happened. No, they had the cop on to know, don't fucking touch it. We'll find out soon enough if it's them.
Yeah.
Go and get the police and get all the evidence that we can. That was great. Like, fucking fair play to them for having the presence of mind in that moment.
Of course, yeah.
To do that. So yeah, they did. They came back with the police and they took apart the debris and they found inside the bodies of both Patrick and Susan.
Right.
The bodies had been posed.
Oh.
Susan was naked from the waist down with like her shirt pulled to the side to expose one of her breasts.
Fucking Christ.
I know what you're thinking, but bear with me. So the killer had then laid her body on top of Patrick's.
Oh.
But Patrick was fully clothed. But the way it's described, it's not actually explicitly said, but the way it's described, it sounds a bit like it was a, because they were posed, right? So it sounds like it was a bit of a sexual thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't confirm or deny that again.
Okay.
It just sounds that way. But yeah, but he was fully clothed. So she was the only one naked from the waist down. Both of them had been shot. Susan was shot behind the ear.
Oh, execution.
So just, execution style. Patrick had been shot through his forearm into his shoulder. So they think he like raised his hand in self-defense and it went, yeah, through the forearm here and into the shoulder behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously that wasn't going to do much damage to him. So he was shot again directly in the heart.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's fucking rough. While all of that is awful, weirdly, thankfully, but weirdly, during the autopsy, it was found that Susan hadn't been sexually assaulted at all.
Okay, thank God.
So, strange that she was just posed with her pants down, gone. Yeah. But she hadn't been touched. The detective that had arrived on the scene when the bodies were discovered, he had noticed a kind of a substance. Again, is the word that was used. A substance on... Yeah. So gross.
Just do it. Just do it. Rip it off. Rip it off.
Yeah. A substance on Susan's body. And when she went to the fucking undertakers, they washed her body. So they never got to test it. So when they say substance, you know where the mind goes here in
absolutely,
that word.
Yeah.
So it might be that he didn't touch her, but he touched himself.
Cranked one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would explain why, you know, there was still some sexual satisfaction from it.
Yeah.
If she was, you know. But then, again, we don't know because they washed her body. They washed the substance away. We don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been anything. Could have been snot. So as we said, the quick execution style murder and the lack of sexual assault made it difficult for the investigators to determine a sort of motive to follow to investigate the case because there was nothing. Like, it made no sense. These kids were just having a fucking picnic. Why kill them? So when there was no sexual motive, there wasn't a robbery, there was no motive behind it, as far as they could see. That made it really hard to narrow down any sort of a suspect.
Yeah.
It was the 70s, so they were obviously very limited on what resources they had to test things. They didn't have DNA.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have proper, like, any sort of ballistics that mattered unless you had the gun in your possession. Like, if you had a suspect already and got the gun, then cool, you can do ballistics. But anything else, like, forget about it. Same with fingerprint testing. You could only, if he's not in the database, then he's not in the database.
Yeah.
So they got fingerprints and they got casings.
Right.
But again, they needed a suspect.
Mm.
They had a couple of people come forward. There was a lot of people ringing in on the tip line saying that they heard gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
But in that area is another place where a lot of people go for target practice.
Oh, okay.
So there's like 24/7 gunshots there. So of course you heard gunshots. It doesn't necessarily mean they were the gunshots that killed Patrick and Susan.
Mm.
So that didn't really bring them any help. Ultimately, like, there was over 1,000 hours of man hours put into solving the case by two detectives.
Oh.
And they put everything into it that they could, but it just kind of went cold.
Right.
Because they didn't have so much as a suspect. And there's theories being bounced around that it was like a deranged person stalking the pair who was like jealous that they were a couple, even though they weren't. And they killed them out of jealousy, which is a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that has happened in the history of ever. Like,
no.
With idols and stuff, sure, celebrities. I could see that.
Yeah, but not just but some average randos, Joe's, like, on the side of the road. Like.
And especially, like, you wouldn't kill both. You'd kill one.
Yeah.
You'd kill, like, if you're a girl, you're going to kill the girl who's got your man. Or, you know, girl, if you're that way. And vice versa. You know, you're going to kill the person who's the competition. You're not going to kill the love interest, so. And you're not just going to kill a couple for being a couple. That's
it's
pathetic.
It's so stupid. So fucking stupid.
Honestly, I'm not here for that theory at all. And then the other theory is that the other theory was that because Patrick had his little escapades in Europe, he had somehow gotten himself on the wrong side of the wrong people and that they had sent an assassin to America.
Oh, to be fucked. Will you go away?
America. Yeah, I don't.
Do you think he was like swapping with the fucking Italian mob like?
Honestly.
The Sicilians are after him now as well. They're not traipsing to fucking Washington.
Honestly. To go after Patrick, the 20-year-old. I don't think so.
Nah. Come on.
Yeah. They sent an assassin to America to take him out. And then Susan was just like there at the time. And she got murdered too. So they were the theories they were working on. And they knew they were flimsy as fuck. They knew that. But they couldn't think of it. Like, they didn't want to accept that it was just a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
That it was someone who happened to be there and decided he wanted to kill.
Like, not the most likely option. God, no.
Yeah. not that at all. But that was the hardest option to go with. So, because, like, it has the least evidence. It's how do you find one madman amongst everyone?
So how the fuck do you find an assassin that hails from Europe? That doesn't make sense.
You ring Interpol. That's what they did. They contacted Interpol. They contacted the Mexican border. They contacted anyone where they thought there might be some sort of foreign influence.
Does that make sense?
I have no idea. But it was a lead they could chase, and they chased it. Because with them, like I said, with a madman, there's no lead. There's just none. You have nothing you can go off of. So they chase down the craziest of theories to try and get anything just to solve the murder. And it's insane, but I kind of appreciate the fact that they tried. So yeah, they called fucking Interpol and tried to get them to figure it out.
That's just...
But there was nothing. It led to nothing, obviously. Because it was a mad fucking harebrained theory.
Yeah,
so, like I said, it ran so cold that the police just had to drop it. Like, they had no choice. They couldn't continue investigating it. There was no new leads, no evidence, no fucking... Nothing. Nothing. We go back now to 1975, when their bodies were first found. And our boy Bobby is packing his car up, packing up his family, and they're heading off to fulfill his sudden lifelong dream. Be more of a serial killer, take two, of joining the military.
Oh, my... It's copy and paste at this point.
Right? How do you have none of the, like, early life traditional stamps of a serial killer, but then all of the later life ones?
It's weird.
How do you, like, just become that perfect of a serial killer? Textbook with none of the previous assets. I don't get it.
Lost on me.
Honestly, it's pay to play, I'm telling you.
No, it's fucking fact.
Man started the game at level 50. I don't get it.
He bought his way in.
He popped his way in. So he passes all of the tests and he becomes a pilot in the Air Force in Alabama. Dun, 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 dun. Where the skies are so blue. The whole time I was doing these notes from, like, Alabama forward, that was it. That was my constant soundtrack the whole fucking time.
It's a fucking class song.
An actual bop. So, during this time...
Uh-huh.
Linda was starting to notice that her husband was a bit of a fucking lurk.
Right.
So about a month into their marriage and then living together, Linda noticed that Bobby had drilled a small hole in the wall.
All right.
She was like, what the fuck? What's the purpose of this hole? And she goes and checks it out. And she sees that this hole goes clean through to the neighbor's house into their bedroom.
Dirty bastard.
Perfectly. Perfectly positioned for him to watch them having sex.
Dirty cunt. Ew.
Dirty little pervert.
Sorry, but did the neighbours not notice this shit as well? Surely,
this is what I was wondering.
Surely the fallout from the drill, like the fallout from drilling the wall, is going to be on their side.
It's
going to
be pushed out their side. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he, like, plugged it up on the day that he did it so that it was, like, you know, blacked out. Like, you couldn't see through.
But how?
So you're like, oh, what the fuck?
But you're still going to see the escape hole. Even if he plugged it up, you would have had
on his end. So they wouldn't assume that he could see them. Like, oh, this is just like where he put a nail and hung a picture. And then he just took it out afterwards.
Nah, man.
Could be a case of that.
A nail?
I don't know.
To go through a fucking wall? Nah.
Not through the whole wall. The hole would have still been on their end. I don't know why they didn't cover it. But maybe they didn't think he could see through it is the only thing I can think. Because why would you? Why would you let your... Or maybe they were into it.
They must have had to be, because there's no way like that he wasn't getting a knock on his door to be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, why have you drilled a hole through so you can look at us fucking? Because you have to have seen it.
The fallout is going to be on the floor.
Mm. You're going to want to know where that came from. You're not just going to, like, idly hoover.
And you're telling me as well, you see a mysterious hole that's just appeared on your wall and you don't look through it yourself.
Right? To see that you can see into the neighbour's apartment. So I'm saying there had to have been something there because you would have looked. Maybe he pushed a cabinet in front of it or something. I don't know. But, like, being, okay, there's something there. They're not going to look in. There has to be. You can't just be okay with someone, your creepy-ass neighbour, watching you fuck. But anyway... Linda was rightfully appalled by this.
Yeah, as she should, Linda.
So she packed her fucking bags and she left him. This kind of started a pattern because she would constantly just be disgusted by him. He would do shit that would disgust her, piss her off, fucking drive her mental. They were he gave her the ick big time.
Mm.
And they were fighting all the time and she just fucking hated him from the sounds of it. But time went on. they constantly had fights. They already had a kid. They had more children as time went on. And she just couldn't afford not to be with him.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And as the kids were growing up as well, they were also begging to, you know, get back with daddy. We want daddy back in our lives kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of pressure on that end as well.
Right.
For her to go back. So she just got trapped in it every time. She had no choice. She couldn't not go back to him. She needed his military paycheck to support the family.
Okay. Yeah.
Because every time she left, the family just started starving. She'd survive a couple of weeks and then money would run out. She'd have to go back.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. So I said, poor fucking Linda. Because Linda just got trapped in the cycle.
She got an awful dose of it, to be fair.
Yeah. She had no fucking choice. She thought he was great for the first year. He trapped her AF, married her quick, got her pregnant. She was stuck. So by the time she figured out what a fucking creep he was, it was too late. She couldn't leave it. It's 1975.
No.
So yeah, my heart breaks for fucking Linda, honestly. Poor fucking Linda. But she did what she had to do to survive. So Bobby specialised in helicopters in the military. And apparently he was fucking amazing. And he got all these medals for bravery and shit. And yeah, he was like such an incredible pilot. And everyone just really blowing smoke up this man's arse.
Yeah.
Speaking of smoke. Tell me now, your apartment's on fire.
I've just got an hour fucking... Because I do have a candle that was lighting, but obviously it's after running out of wax and it's after burning itself out.
Oh, but it's out though. It's not like... Because this is how my stairs in the attic went on fire, okay? The candle kept burning, wax or no wax. It burned through to the stairs. It went through the plastic.
That's wild. No, yeah. I feel like it's okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It went through the holder. And it was one of those... It was like a grave candle as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ominous?
That is actually... I was more thinking, like, you think they wouldn't do that. But now that you say ominous, I'm like, fuck, actually.
It actually yeah, is a small bit like...
Fair nearly died because of a grave candle. Ugh. Yeah, so helicopter boy. And he was stationed briefly in Germany. Well, for a while, actually. In Germany during the Cold War.
Oh.
And he flew in Operation Desert Storm. The first invasion operation on Iraq by the US. So that's nice.
Nice thing.
That's lovely.
That was great. Well done, America.
Well done.
So good.
So good. Definitely a justified war and not just a bloated... Yeah. Reason to invade a country for their oil.
No.
And rape them for their resources.
Not that they would never, Savannah. They've never done that in the history of the country at all.
I honestly think it's audacious to think of the idea that America would supply another country with thousands of weapons and put militia ideas into their heads, and then when they start an uprising, declare war so that they can invade them for resources. America would never do
that. They would never. Never ever. No.
The land of the free. Why would they enslave anyone?
Yeah, and the home of the fucking, the brave.
Oh, brave. And the home of the brave.
You know what I mean? They'd never.
That's not war crimes. That's bravery. That's heroism.
Mm-hmm. Heroes.
They would never.
Not villains.
Don't even think about it. But yeah, so adding to his list of bravery and achievements, he was sent on the peacekeeping mission to Somalia.
Yeah, sure. It was very fucking peaceful.
Yeah, Somalia, well known to be peaceful. Mm. Very good. Good that he's there to maintain that peace. What would we do without him?
The world would be fucked. The pirates would be on the right one.
What, honestly?
A fucking right one.
The pirates? What do you mean the pirates? They're presidents now. Because he kept the peace so well.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
They don't need to resort to piracy because their country is starving and has no money because their government is so fucking corrupt. Which is actively funded by the US. But anyway, I'm just going to move on because...
It's coming full circle.
We're not getting political, okay? So he got sick of rations.
Yeah.
For like the month of being there. And he thought it was high time that him and the boys had a barbecue. So one day they're cruising along in the chopper and he takes it upon himself to shoot a pig from the air.
He what?
Yeah, shot a pig. Fully prepared to barbecue it from the helicopter while he was on a peacekeeping operation in Somalia.
Do you know he definitely...
To feed him and the boys.
He definitely looked at everybody else and was like nodded and said, like, fuck yeah, I've just done that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was the one leg.
I'm deadly.
Did you see that? I shot that bit.
And definitely did a little fucking power fist bump, like a little...
Oh yeah.
Like, fist bump and a nod. Like a
fucking,
yeah.
Like a 80s movie character. Like, yeah.
Bars and Bastards.
End of the Breakfast Club. Don't you? We can't be doing more songs.
No, we can't.
Okay, so we're almost there with the mental breakdowns. Honestly, the start of this guy's life is kind of fun to talk about, aside from the horrible murder. But anyways. Yeah, so this almost fucked his whole life up. Like, they were pissed that he did that because that broke a whole bunch of fucking, whatchacallums? Military regulations.
Oh, okay.
So it almost ended up in him being court-martialed.
Oh.
Yeah, which would have been great for us, but alas, it didn't happen. No. And he was disciplined in some way.
Because you know, someone was like, it's just a pig, innit?
Yeah.
Like, that's just
it is just a pig at the end of the day, and nobody was hurt. Like, somebody could have been hurt, and that was the issue.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were like, it is just a pig. Yeah. And he was hungry, and kind of fair enough. So, he gets away with the pig murder, and it eventually kind of just becomes like a big joke. Bobby liked to keep his work life, like his military life, and his home life with Linda separate.
Okay.
He didn't like intertwining them. And whenever, on the odd occasion that Linda would be invited along to some sort of party or gathering at the base, whatever was going on, she would be there. A lot of the time, like, she would meet some of the co-workers, because I'm sure he has a lot being stationed in many places. You know, they come in and out.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, some of the co-workers, like, they didn't even know he had a wife.
What?
He didn't even mention her once.
Bastard.
Like, would have been under the illusion that he was single.
Fuck.
And he married with kids, so he never even mentioned his family, really.
That's bizarre. Like, how do you not even accidentally slip up as well? And like, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, I was talking about this with the missus, or
yeah, or the little young one was
yeah, you know, something. How does it not come up that you have a whole ass family?
Like, surely, like, he would have been talking to other people there that have families, and they would have been talking about their kids, like, one would assume.
Yeah.
And they might have similar interests to your own, and you just don't mention that you have them.
What kind of psychopath keeps relatable stories to a topic to themselves? Especially with a co-worker when you're trying to, like, pass time.
Especially
AF.
If you're in the, like, fucking army as well. Like, you know what I mean?
They're the most personal conversations you're ever going to have.
Because it could be one, like, of the last conversations you have. So, like...
Exactly. That's the those are the conversations where you hear the shit like, and then I shoved a whole bag of jelly beans up my ass.
Yeah. Like, no, 100%, like,
you know, I don't get it. I don't get how the fuck he did that. But that just speaks to how much of a weirdo, like, he was not right.
Yeah, definitely a little bit.
To be able to do that, that's something. Mm. There's something there. I don't know if it's a sociopath. I don't know if that qualifies as a sociopath or a psychopath. Or
sure, it's lost on me. I won't
it's
lie.
It's a something.
It's a something. Some sort of path.
Because no normal person
no.
with genuine human emotion could ever do that. Ever.
Honestly.
No way. It's too hard. Fuck that. But anyways, didn't talk about his wife. So in 1995, we're all the way up to fucking 1995 now, he wasn't flying anymore. But he was training the new pilots in.
Right.
So he'd become like an instructor now, because he'd become
too old.
He's like 18 years in the service. Yeah. Amazing fucking pilot, apparently. And time to pass on the knowledge kind of thing. So he's in Alabama. And because he's not, you know, swanning off committing government sanctioned war crimes, Linda and him were like spending a lot more time together.
Okay.
So that meant that Linda was noticing more and more that he was
a horrendous piece of shit.
They would go to more parties together at the base and stuff, and she would watch him calling himself James Bond and flirting with other women directly in front of her.
Fuck, you insufferable bastard.
James fucking Bond. I want to know, like, did he ask for a Martini shaken, not stirred?
Oh, that's... double fucking loser, you absolute fucking weirdo, like.
Honest to God, I was like, how fucking
that
sad are
so
you?
That is so sad.
Like, if a man walked up to me, genuinely, if I was single, right, and a man walks up to me in a bar right now, and he's like, hi, you can call me Bond, James Bond, I'd be like, hi, you can call me not interested.
Like, I won't, but what I will call you is a silly cunt, and get the fuck out of my line of sight. That is so embarrassing.
No.
Absolutely. Oh my god.
Cringe.
No, I
cringe.
Felt that in my neck. That was awful.
Fucking honestly. She had to watch that. Not only has he got the fucking audacity to cheat in front of her,
but now she has to be embarrassed by, like, his absolute zero game.
Exactly. She'd be like, he picked me up with that shit. How? And now I have to watch him, like, fail at picking up other women with it.
That's so bizarre.
But yeah, so, again, she's stuck there. So she's just like, fuck him, whatever. Leave him off. Not my problem. So...
not my problem.
Shortly after that, Bobby became useless in his field. So he was, what, 18 years? Yeah. So 3 years later, thereabouts, he became useless in his field because the military had got all new helicopters.
Oh.
So He knew nothing anymore. He was useless to them.
Yeah, man's not going to be able to fucking fly a Black Hawk.
Exactly. So he either would have had to retrain, or the military were offering special benefits to people who left early because, you know, things were kind of over. There wasn't as much war going on at this point.
Yeah, the Americans finally left the Iraqis alone.
There was about to be more war, but at this point it's kind of...
There was a bit of a quiet spell.
I guess that's why. They were letting people go and they were paying them like a significant portion of their paycheck every month.
Okay.
Just for free, you know, just giving it out to them. They don't have to work anymore. They just get it as like a stipend. So he was getting like 20 grand a year. Which is...
For doing on.
Yeah, literally. Which is like most minimum wage workers are earning that for like 60 hours a week, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not so bad. So he gets that and he wants to get the fuck out of Alabama. He wants to move back. But he ends up actually going to Wisconsin. But...
Jeez.
They think there's another reason that he needed to get the fuck out of Alabama. So he took the severance. Like, it lined up really nicely for him.
Okay.
Because on the 9th of August, 1995, the body of Tarion Corbett was found by the local authorities. And I'm about to step into a fucking minefield here because...
Right, give me a second then. Right.
Oh no, it's more of a problem for me, a problem for the podcast. Try not to get us cancelled because there's conflicting information about Tarion's identity.
Okay.
Some articles say that Tarion was a man, identified as a man, and just enjoyed dressing as a woman.
Okay.
Other things claim him, like Trans Lives Matter and stuff like that, they claim him as the Fallen, a transgender woman.
Okay.
I came across like Facebook posts and stuff like, has anyone got a yearbook from 1995 so I can see my brother, Tarion? And he was such a nice person and so on and so forth. But that could also still mean that Tarion lived as a boy still in high school and then transitioned to a woman, their true identity afterwards. So I don't fucking know. Okay.
But then as well in the media, they could have been like misgendering.
Exactly. And the media does tend to do that. They're not going to, you know. They generally don't refer to trans women as trans women. So I don't know what Tarion's actual identity was at that time when they were 19. I'm just going to refer to them as Tarion. So I just wanted to get that information out there just, you know, so we're not fucking cancelled. Yeah, so Tarion was working in Alabama as a prostitute at the time.
Okay.
They had been shot twice in the face and dumped on the side of the road. When the murder was discovered, the police looked immediately at the biggest fuck military base that was in the
just
area.
Yeah.
Like literally around the corner from where the body was found. They were like, that makes sense. I'm pretty sure that's where we're going to find our killer. Yeah, there was also like really solid evidence that tied Bobby to the area at the time of the murder. That like, okay, it couldn't prove that he did it, but it proved that he was at least there. He was capable. He had the opportunity. He also had the murder weapon. So it was
Jesus
him.
Christ.
It was him AF. It was the same caliber gun that he carried, his favorite little gun. Can't remember what it was. I think it might have been like a 335, but I'm not sure.
Like, how dumb do you have to be?
Yeah, honestly. So yeah, they've figured that it's probably that's the motivation for him getting the fuck out of Alabama really quickly and taking the severance and like leaving his job that he worked for 21 years and supposedly loved. And everyone loved him in it behind. The police wanted to solve it, but the higher-ups didn't really care about some unknown prostitute that was murdered. So they didn't really want to fund this investigation. So they cut down the investigators' resources so badly that they just couldn't, they physically could not investigate the murder any further. So Tarion's murder went unsolved.
Fucking Christ.
So yeah, so... They drop the case. Bobby flees to the safety of Spokane, Wisconsin, with his family and his... No, not Wisconsin. It is Washington.
Washington.
It says Wisconsin in the book. And I was like, huh.
Is there two?
I thought it was Washington. No, I'm pretty sure. I think that it was probably a mistype. Because it was audible. So, you know, when it's like retyped.
Oh.
I feel like that, because that happens a lot with audiobooks. So I think it was just that. No, it was Washington. I literally looked it up. It's Spokane in Washington.
I was going to say, because I could have been fully wrong, and me there, you know, throw my dick
about. No, I googled it. You were right to throw your dick about.
Oh.
Yeah, he moved there with his family with his nice stream of military money coming in for free, and it would be in Spokane where Bobby would really kick off his killing spree, presumably imbued with the confidence of having already killed possibly 4 people and not had an ounce of suspicion thrown his way. I say possibly 4 people because there is, on his like Wikipedia page and stuff, there is another murder listed in 1988. But I found zero information about it.
Yeah, so, sure then. Yeah. What,
yeah. So I didn't really bring it up, but there's every chance he killed another girl. I think she was 16 in 1988 in amongst this. So that's 4. We're already up to a body count of 4, and he hasn't even really started his killing era yet.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. That is where we will pick the story up next week. That's all I got for you. That's his early life. He's a weird one. He's a really weird one. But he does have a fun early life that we can make the fun of, and I liked that.
Yes.
Because it's been a while.
And then it gets vile later on, so I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, there is a lot of murder. But we'll be fine. It's fine.
It'll be grand.
We're going to get through it. We got to get through these heavy hitters, and we rightfully, apart from, again, in fairness, there are a couple of young girls, but there are no actual children.
Children? Yeah.
Murdered in this, so it's nice in that way.
Because I was starting to get very fucking sick of that.
Yeah, we keep falling into it. I don't know how it keeps happening. It's not intentional. Just every story we end up picking for a series of weeks involves child murder.
It just has happened.
Yeah. Like even, I found such an interesting case. But I think it might need... It should be a one episoder, and I really want to cover it. But it very much... Like, not horrendous. Actually child murder, but child abduction. And it's really fucking bizarre.
Oh, is that one that girl asked us to do on Instagram?
No, but we need to look into that as well.
We do. We promise? Do.
Yeah.
Swear?
Because we'll give you a shout out when we cover it. You know who you are for now.
Yeah.
But we'll give you a shout out when we're covering it. We're looking into that one too.
We will. Thanks, man.
Who replied? Whoever replied? You replied.
Me.
You were going to have to take it.
I'm absolutely cool with doing that, but what about if I'm her like least favourite? You know what I mean? I'll ask her. I'm like... Well, love.
Who's your fave? I feel like they're not going to tell
us.
No,
who's your fave? No. But I'd be like, who do you want to do it? Do you know what I mean?
Fair. Whose voice gets you through the day the easiest?
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm fierce fucking hard to listen to. I know that. I'm fine with that.
I feel like I get awful boring sometimes. Like, I do zone out listening to myself.
I feel like that's only coming from the fact that you have to edit it.
That's also true.
You know?
I don't know. We're staring at each other for too long now. So.
Yeah. We're getting fine.
We'll be fine. Yeah. No, we can ask. We can ask who she'd like to cover it. And
Why
not? We like our fans. We love that everyone's starting to reach out to us more as well on Instagram.
Oh my God, it's so nice.
Honestly, we love it. Keep it up. We love hearing from you. We will follow you all back. If you reach out to us, we'll give you a follow. That is the rules. So.
And we're like in our group chat, like as soon as we get a message, look at this. Look at this. And then honestly, it makes your day. Like, I'm gassed as fuck. I tell everyone.
I like the ego boost I get from it. Not even the ego boost, but it's like a warm hug. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's like, someone doesn't think we're irritating.
Yeah. Because like 2 to 3 weeks later, I'm going to be back in the mindset of like, why do I even make a podcast? Because who the fuck wants to listen to me talk about anything? But it's nice. It's nice to know that we actually do get people through their day and work. And that you enjoy listening to us. And absolutely, fuck these bastards. We are here to say fuck these bastards. Cannot be one of those podcasts that glorify serial killers. So, we appreciate that you appreciate the message.
Literally, every person that has ever messaged us brings it up.
It's like, I love it.
What do other people to be doing? Because I feel like the only, in my head, viable option is to take the piss and call these people rancid bastards. Because if that's what they are. Like,
it's exactly
why are we
getting
around that fact? I don't care who.
Even if they're afforded some semblance of sympathy in their childhood, we'll give them that. Like, we'll be like, okay, so they had these reasons, but also fuck them.
Yeah.
Because,
go cry about it. Fuck, kill people like that.
How about fucking go to therapy?
You know what I mean?
Like, you know there's something up. But, anyways, you know what we're talking about. Because our cesspits are fucking awesome and you're on the money and you know how it is and you agree with us. And that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We were meant to give this shout out, 3 weeks ago? And completely forgot?
Yes.
But that's how we are. And always have been.
V- Yeah, very like airheaded, I'd say. Like, honestly, for as smart as we, like, we would do cracking in a pub quiz.
Oh yeah. Not.
But like, stupid as fuck though as well.
Don't ask me to count. Like, no. Do not ask me to point speak, something on a map.
For fuck's sake.
I can't be doing it.
So dumb. Like, as
but I can tell you that we have lost 90 species of frog because of the destruction of biodiversity in modern farming because of antifungal pesticides. So, you know?
Frogs yeah. are dirty little bastards though, as well.
But they're vital to our biosphere.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming everything kind of is. Everything honest, is. Like.
Because if we don't have frogs, we get overrun by flies and they can spread disease depending on which ones that they're eating, particularly mosquitoes.
No, lads, cut shit.
Yeah.
Cut shit. I hate flies. I
lead to the spread of things like malaria and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Ew, the playground too.
Frogs are essential.
Sorry.
Essential to the ecosystem.
Imagine getting the playground team. That would be...
Do you know what I mean?
How fucking...
We do not need this. We actually don't need this. And because we're, destroying fungus at such a rapid rate, that, like, vital fungus that we actually need at the
is
same time...
Is this where The Last of Us is coming back again? Like, this is the second conversation we're going to be having about this.
Yeah, it's because I got my book as well, so I'm more educated now on mycelium than I was previously. And it's so fucking fascinating. Also,
I don't want to know, it's terrifying.
The book is called Entangled Life, and I fully recommend it. Like, it's so cool. The illustrations in the book are done with shaggy black ink mushrooms, I think they're called. So they're like, you let them ferment, they turn into like the blackest of ink, and all the illustrations are done with that. And I think that's awesome in a book about fucking fungi.
That is kind of good.
Yeah, I want to plug the book because it's pretty cool. But yeah, so there you go. Biodiversity is dying out because of modern farming, and we need to fucking stop it. And but I can tell you that shit. Don't fucking ask me to do long division anymore.
Even long multiplication. Don't yeah,
forget
look
about it.
My fuck. Even normal multiplication. Don't actually look at me.
Get me a calculator is what, because I always have it in my pocket now.
I don't need to know my times tables, let's be honest.
We know the elephants went in 2x2 and that's good enough for us. Hurrah.
Hurrah. One brain cell, honestly. Honestly.
A shared mind.
One, just a collective mental fucking illness as well. It's so bad.
Oh, it's the hive mind. We are just a hive mind. That's it. That's all. That's all we are.
Shame.
Okay. I think that's it. That's, you know, we've lost 90 species of frogs. That's not really fucking good news for the week, but I don't have any good news for the week.
Well, not that I have good news, but listen to this, right? Mm-hmm. So, Evelyn, love you. Evelyn went to a medium back home, right?
Right.
And now she hasn't told me everything that got told her she's going to wait, because Evelyn's actually coming out to see me, her and Shan.
Oh, class.
And I'm so excited. So she's going to give me like the full rolling down of like her whole reading. But she sent me a voice message there the other morning. Now, when I tell you it was about not even half six, just before, I'd say 6:15 in the morning, I listened to the show clearly bawling on the fucking couch. Because, so she was at this medium anyway, and pretty much like straight away into the medium, your one had to kind of not stop up, but like, do you know somebody called Elizabeth? Do you know, right?
No and, way.
Yeah, right? And everyone was like, yeah. So basically, my nanny Lizzie hijacked fucking Evelyn's reading. Right?
Of course she did.
Even my dad said this. They were like, oh, it wouldn't be like my mother to fucking interrupt, obviously. Right? Oh, she's done this,
a hero.
She's done this before, apparently. I think to like my, yeah, like my husband's like ex-missus, like she got a reading. And like, yeah, my nanny just interjected straight away. She's very vocal, is Lizzie. And yeah, so she told Evelyn that like, she was kind of stressing, like that I kind of had to be told to me like ASAP. Basically that like she's like my guardian angel in a sense that like she's always going to be looking out for me.
Aww.
And I was going through a bit of a tough time, which I was like, I was kind of in nothing had happened, but you know, I do get in the pits like.
Yeah.
So I was in the pits for like a couple of weeks. And I was coming out of it, but your one had told Evelyn that I was on the way out of it, but that like my nan was like, no, just tell her like everything's going to be okay, like I'm always going to have her back, like I'm going to be looking out for all that kind of crack. And I was sitting on the couch here fucking nearly bawling my eyes out.
Because what are the chances of that happening? Like, that is too real. Too spooky. Like,
isn't it too fucking weird?
Oh my god.
And no one calls me Elizabeth, like, as in my nanny Lizzie would have called me Elizabeth because she was Lizzie. Do you know what I mean?
Like, the only time anyone I've ever heard refer to you as Elizabeth would be like
if I was getting in trouble sometimes,
early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or us sometimes if we're giving out to you.
Yeah, you'd be like, Elizabeth, fuck's sake. And I'd be like, don't. Yeah. Not the full government name. Stop it now. Yeah.
Like when you got in a fucking car with a stranger.
Savannah.
You needed to be called out and you know you did.
Yeah, I did.
Little fucking drunken airhead making bad decisions.
To be fair, when you pulled up, I thought me and Carly, my mom's going to fucking strangle me. Me and Carly thought he was like...
do I need to cut it?
No, it's fine. No.
Are you sure? Are you willing to take the bollocking? Okay.
Oh yeah, I'm going to take the bollocking. Because it's kind of deserved. Because we couldn't get a taxi, so we were going to have to get a car. Right, so the cars don't look like normal taxis. So this fella just pulled up and he was like, you need to go. We were like, yeah, we do. Because I was on a time crunch. I had to be home, showered, re-ready to go out on the piss again. Right? But then as we were in here, we got in the car like, and he started driving like, this is not a taxi man. This is just a man. This is a man. But like, it was kind of like, it was a bit, do you know, like it was like sketch. Absolutely fine.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, after, I obviously had made him, like, drop me around the corner. I had, like, walked. Carly was still in the car. Wouldn't get out with me because Carly's, like, very strong opinion. Like, she just would not, like, you know, like, she was going to stay. She was going to go. And she had told me, like, the following day, or was it on a voice message or something, that, like, your man tried to, like, touch her leg and everything. And she was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, oh, I just find you so beautiful. All this kind of crack. And Carly's like, yeah, so does my husband. And when she mentioned that, like, she doesn't have a husband, but, like, she had said she had a husband.
You do have a husband when you're with a man, like, that you
absolutely
don't know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he, like, stopped. And he's like, oh, okay. And apparently he just, like, this is just what he does. Because Carly was then trying to, like, quiz him then to be like, well, what the fuck are you doing? Or, like, what is your job? Like, what do you do here? Like, you know, and he's like, oh, I just give people lifts. So he just drives around and, like, yeah, honestly, like, this man is not vetted by anything or is not, like, belong to some company or any, yeah. 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 And look, I fully deserve the bollocking that I'm going to.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything anymore. Hi, Karen. You got this from here.
Then my father as well. They're going to rape me in your arsehole.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah.
You are
going to
be fucked out of it from that.
While I have you here, I was sharing my live location with the girls.
Yes. Oh, we asked for the registration number. We didn't get it because Lizzie.
I didn't have it.
We asked for it. But we got the live location. We were following it. The second that motherfucker stopped moving, we were freaking out. We were trying to figure out, okay, where's this building? We're going to track it down. We need to know, like, we'll wait a little while. And if we have to call the police, we'll call the police. Like, we were on it.
And I was sending regular selfies as well to be like, still here. Still alive.
Yep. We wanted proof of life when she got home. We were not having it that this dumb bitch got into some fucking stranger's car. We were not having it. She was like, in the back of some random car, deaf gonna die. And I'm like, heart was in my arsehole. I could feel my pulse coming out of my toes. Like,
and I think I only told you because one of you got a bad feeling. I think it was Leah.
Mm-hmm.
It was Leah. They got a bad feeling. I was like, well, it could be me.
I think so anyway. I think it was Leah. It might be a misassigning, but either way, it was one of them.
It was one of the Pentaprazis anyway. Yeah. Like, it was one
and
of them.
Me. So, yeah, man. Oh, my nerves. You were rattling my nerves. So fucking glad when you were like, okay, I'm home. Praise Jesus. And also, Karen and Bert, I promise you, we made sure that she got out a distance away from where she lived and fucking duck a weave so that he, like, no one was following you
home.
And
to be fair, like, I was rattled, like, not rattled, but I was merry. But, like, I still had my full wits about me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was very, like, yeah.
You weren't going to not remember what was going on if something went on.
Absolutely so. Fucking not, no. Yeah. But not even that, like.
But still.
As in, like, if anything would have, like, I started to sober up in that straight away. I was like, okay, like, well, I need to be around my surroundings.
When you didn't answer me when I rang you the couple of times for the podcast, I was, the only reason I kept ringing you was because I've been watching so many human trafficking videos lately.
Oh my god, Savannah.
And you
stop.
Got picked up by this rando and I was like,
Jesus Christ.
He followed. She's going to get fucking picked up. She's going to be sold. And then I'm going to have to fucking Liam Neeson. And we all know that I'm going to try and kung fu kick somebody and I'll break my fucking ankle. So it's not going to work out. I might find you. I won't be able to save you.
But at least you'll know where I am.
But at least I'll know where you are.
When you then inevitably perish as well.
Perhaps I can hire a Liam Neeson type to come with me.
That might surely.
Might be an option. But Lizzie lived, so that's the good news for the week. Yeah. We got it. We got the good news. Yeah. Nice.
I was actually, I'm actually, my arsehole is twitching because I'm actually dreading this phone call. I think I might just ignore it. I'm just going to ignore my phone.
You don't even have time because we're doing like a record and release week. So this is happening immediately. You don't have a week.
Fucking hell, Sunday she's got.
And on our Lord's Day, what a day to get a bollocking.
Ma, honestly, just don't even bring it up. I'm publicly addressing you now. I know. Won't be doing it again. So I, like, less needs to be said. I'm absolutely fine. Not bothered.
Yeah. In fairness, the other 4 points at the pentagram did give you a bollocking already, so.
Yeah, I've already got one.
We did some of the work. Some. I'm still supporting them fucking out of it.
Stop that, please.
On that note, I think we should leave it off here because it's not going to get better than this, and we can update everyone on how the bollock went next week.
Fuck. if it's on video call, I might just screen record it.
I would appreciate
that. Listen
to
the slew of names my father is going to fucking call me.
I would most certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, alrighty. Then we hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. And I'm too brain dead to think of a message. Don't watch your neighbours have sex. And always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankle.
I forgot it.
3, 2, 1, go. Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And John Arcot.